What happens after November?
Christmas fun drive.
The situation is that there was deficit spending or deficit occurring at WPFW. WPFW depleted its reserves. That's the only way it was making its bills. And accrued bills. There are legal expenses also, which I won't go into in terms of specifics. And WPAI was deeply in debt, and that deficit spending led to depleting all the reserves at the national office. KPFK is just getting out of extreme deficit spending. And so we're going from deficit spending to zero, because we can't, there's nowhere else to pull from. And the only thing we can do is start mortgaging assets, what little we have, or make more money. Most of the stations can't tolerate any more payroll reductions without severely cutting into the ability to function. Luckily, the on-air fundraising has been relatively strong, much stronger than last year. So there you go. We are doing much better at WBAI.
Orders of the day, Mr. Chair. I think we're talking about what the cash situation is.
Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry I'm talking too much. Goodbye.
No, don't hang up. I have a question for her, Jamie.
Okay, well, yeah, I didn't tell you not to talk, actually. Grace, are you finished?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay, then the next on the stack is Sherry.
Oh, okay. So I guess for the committee and then the PND, I assume that we are going to get specifics about the unpaid bills that I get you and Brian just narrated. Grace, you just mentioned that you're doing better at WBAI, and I would like the figures for the fulfillment rate on the May and the last fund drive there.
I think LaVarne can supply that better, and Jamie can explain that, despite a fairly atrocious fulfillment because of the fact that the billing didn't go out till late, but we're going to rectify that with migrating that to out of house to recover that fulfillment. But still in all, even with the mediocre fulfillment of non-credit card donations, still the income has improved, and the current drive is doing well, relatively speaking.
I don't see that in the figures, and my question actually was just what
I think Jamie has the information about that.
Okay, so I just wanted to know what the fulfillment rate was for the last two fund drives, and whoever can provide that to me, that would be great, and to the committee, not to me.
Okay, we got at our finance local meeting, we did get up-to-date Memphis reports, which have that information. I can summarize and send them.
Thanks, Jamie.
Along. Okay, let's see. Are there any more questions or comments about this? I'm kind of speechless with myself.
I'm sorry. Jamie, are you there? What did
yes.
you say? You have those sheets, right, on the
yes. We were provided with the Memphis reports at last week's local meeting.
Okay.
So I can summarize them and put them into an email.
Okay, thanks.
So let's see here.
Brian here.
Brian, okay, go ahead.
Well, I'll just point something out. I know this is like politically radioactive, but if you guys are at the point where you're putting printer bills on a credit card and you've got a line of credit out from the bank, you're going to have you're already in debt, right? Not paying your bills means you're in debt. Being on a credit card means you're in debt. Having a line of credit means you're in debt. You kind of threw out the concept of a mortgage as a throwaway, but the reality is that gives you cash at a lower interest rate than what you're suffering right now.
Jamie,
and if you're unwilling to cut expenses.
Okay, hold on, Brian. Yes, Grace.
And you think you're on a path to getting
better. Brian, can you hold on 1 sec? Great, Grace.
Okay, because of the 2-3 day notices to quit at WBAI that were not known about by the national office, it's doubtful that we would get an advantageous interest rate on a mortgage. In fact, the loan before that was on our credit, or I would assume it's on our credit. Before that occurred, the loan was a pretty poor loan on the KPFK building. So I think that...
You're talking about the January loan?
Yes, please. Let Grace
finish
up here.
It was nixed sometime in late fall 2008. That was a very bad loan. I personally would not think that accepting a long-term loan for a large amount of money is better at a non-advantageous interest rate with very poor terms is not better than taking a shorter-term loan that we have for a less amount of money with less encumbrance. I don't agree. I don't agree that that's the way to go. If we were going to get a decent loan, then it might be feasible. But
I'm not saying you should take a bad loan either, but I do think you should explore your options. And in fact, LaVarne had agreed to explore her options several months back in case the need arose. Have you followed up with the bank at all, LaVarne?
I'm sorry, you asked me if I followed with the bank about a loan? No, we haven't talked about a loan. We did follow with the bank about in terms of our, because I don't recall making that commitment. So because my position on the loan position, it remains the same. If you're looking at any entity now and you look at the sure way to bankruptcy is to settle one of the units with a loan and not be able to pay that loan back. And I think that since the budget for 2009 showed that we would actually be in a worse position than what we are, and we're able to skate by for until we get the funds coming in and get a reasonable budget and start executing those budgets, I think that that's the way to do it. So I don't recall exploring the loan because I've never been for that idea. But when you talk about fulfillment rates, let me just finish on that, is that the fulfillment rates were not, we're working on that because we're actually signed a contract with ComNet, and then when you separate the fulfillment rate between the credit card and the non-credit card, like we were also down on the credit cards. And again, that reflects the explanation that Grace has given to you, is that we have a premiums person, and we have another person who does finance plus help with the fund drive. So a lot of the tasks that were done when there were more people there, like attacking the declines on the credit cards when they make pledges, like some of that work was not done or was not really those how to address issues like that, where that information was not really communicated. And even if it was, there just weren't enough people at the time. So, again, what we've done is that I've hired a person who actually who knows databases, Virgil Reimers. I have signed a contract with ComNet to look at the fund drives from the past, the ones that have not been fulfilled, primarily the non-credit cards. And we've even called some of those people, and some people were willing to particularly if they had made another pledge with a credit card, they were willing to pay those pledges. But those pledges can only really be attacked successfully, like, you know, from January through all the rest of them, through the little short fund drives and the one in May, can only be attacked, I think, successfully with using the telemarketing firm through ComNet. And the credit card part, what we've done is we've identified the problem. We know that the way to attack it in terms of looking at the MIMSIS report and reproducing those, and we have actually had very good success on that. And, in fact, our Carl Martin actually came in and called, and we've had other programmers and Berthold and others to do that. So we're actually, you know, in terms of what we were left with in terms of personnel and also in terms of process, we have actually attacked those things, and with BAI, and we think that our fulfillment rate will go up because we know how to address the issues up front, and which included, you know, invoicing, you know, try to get your invoices done daily, particularly when you have large amount of pledges. So there are actions in place, there are actions in the plan to improve the situation, and that, you know, that's the position we're in, and we think that we can do central services, because if you go all year without producing central services from BAI, then you have the issues with PFW. You know, this is what happens, and this is the position that we were in, and in order to correct those, we have to have the plan in place, which we have, and to improve those things and to actually reduce the revenue so you can actually get the central services. So that's where we are, and no, I have not. I don't recall committing to looking at the loans from Wells Fargo. What I've been working with Wells Fargo on are the things that which you've talked about. Is what is the best rate for any funds that we have at Wells Fargo? How do we cut down on this intermediary for transferring funds from our general ledger into our bank account, this intermediary like Global Payments and Payment Solutions. So those are the things that Wells Fargo has promised to produce for us and to help us reduce costs. And now I understand from the business managers meeting that Wells Fargo is tacking on other little costs that we believe are excessive. So it's just getting our account team together at Wells Fargo so that we're getting the best interest rates and that we are and that they are able to help us reduce these some of our expenses.
Point of information.
We had a point of information here.
Yeah, the point of information is LaVarne stated that the budget that we did better than the budget. I would request that she give us that information. That's not what my understanding is.
What are you speaking about, a particular station, Susan?
No. LaVarne said that we outperformed the budget for 2008-2009.
Who
we? You just said that, LaVarne. I would like to see that analysis.
I'll have to listen to the tape because I said in the national office we did a little bit better, but no, I didn't say we outperformed the budget for 2009. Why would I say that?
You meant by that statement the national office outperformed the budget?
It did much better because, well, at one point I understand that central services weren't supposed to come to the national office, but when I finally got a consolidated budget, you know, after starting, I guess, around February or so, we were able to pull together a consolidated budget, we did do better.
I would like to see how just the national office did better than budgeted.
Well, I think that one of the reasons is that we actually...
like to see the figures, not have an explanation.
Oh, here, I'll send it to you right now. There's the figures that some of the numbers that we showed from the PNB meeting.
You know, you might want to... I explain it pretty well in my response to Ian Bowles.
Okay.
What?
Want to look at the second third paragraph of that.
Okay,
I'd like to ask a question when I can be on the
phone. Yeah, I actually had a question myself for LaVarne. A quick one. You mentioned the effort to recoup the unfulfilled credit card pledges.
Yes.
How can you tell me how much money you have made in, you know, the past month or so since you've identified that problem and identified a strategy of how to recoup that money? How much of those pledges have you actually recouped?
I can tell you from the declines list, like they were probably for the two-day drive, it was about $2,000 each. So that's
okay,
like
but,
about
but, but
four.
For the August or the May drive.
Okay, I'll have to have Bertels run a report and see if we can pull it out of there.
That's okay. I can ask him tomorrow or the next day. I thought maybe you had that number. Okay, all right. Thank you. And let's see, we had a. I heard several people's voices. I heard Grace and perhaps Luzette.
R. Paul.
Let's see.
Okay.
Grace, Luzette,
yeah.
R. Paul?
My question is, from what I can tell outside of WPFW right now, currently, it's KPFA that has the worst financial situation. So rather than completely concentrating on WBAI, I'd like to know, I mean, KPFA for fiscal year 2009 is more in the red than any other station, relatively speaking, as far as I can tell. So I'd like to know how that's going to be resolved and how that came about. And rather than continually, you know, I think LaVarne and I feel like we're on the spot and being given the third degree when the statistics show WBAI on an uptrend and some hope that WPFW will start is starting to go upward also, whereas KPFA has been shockingly underperforming its budget criteria. So I'd like some attention given to that station.
Well, the Grace, if I can jump in here, this is basically a conversation about our current unmet cash needs. And KPFA, for all I agree that it has not met its budget goals and actually has plowed through quite a bit of its reserves in the past year, my understanding is it's not running up bills to the national office. So that's why the attention is on the stations that have been running up bills, because this is sort of a question of... and you're correct. If KPFA continues on its current course in a year, perhaps not that much longer, they will be in the same situation. But this is currently a discussion of our unmet cash needs, which is, you know, we're talking about a month or two. KPFA is not going to run out of money in a month or two, I don't think.
Mr. Chairman?
Anyway, so let's see. Next we had Luzette, I guess, Alberto.
Yeah.
I believe I heard Luzette.
Did you hear our Paul?
I heard you, but I thought I heard Luzette. Okay, why don't you go, our
okay.
Paul?
I don't believe Luzette's on a call, actually.
I thought I heard her voice. I guess I'm imagining.
All right. I've been listening to this committee since before I became treasurer, and I think we need to look at the long term and how Pacifica behaves in reality. Some of us were saying, wow, there are problems, 5 years ago. And a little over 2 years ago, this was sort of acknowledged because there was a report from the then CFO that Pacifica was in a fiscal financial crisis. And that was 2.25 years ago or so. So this is not a new thing that we're seeing these things, you know, we're seeing ourselves in a serious money crunch. These things build up. I mean, Pacifica sort of operates with the money going around in a circle. And the money has gone around through this station and that station and the national office, and here it goes, and billbacks and all of that. And it's been doing that, and some stations have been sort of depleting all of this. And yes, WBAI is probably premier in that. And the thing is, you can't do that forever without it catching up. And it's been catching up for a couple of years. Now it's really catching up seriously, so that I don't think anybody's denying that there's a problem anymore, although it's happened in the past that people were denying there was a problem when there was a problem. In terms of how to fix it, when I first came on this committee and there was a proposal about loans and stuff, and I used an analogy that the Pacifica Foundation behaves with money the way a drunk on shore leave does. You know, a drunken sailor will blow all his money and nothing flat and not care about it because he just spends and pays no attention. And that's really how I see the way Pacifica has handled money in the past. And so I think a loan would, in fact, be the ironclad path to ruination for the Pacifica Foundation. A loan is something we can't handle. We can barely handle paying the bills by swapping the money back and forth among different entities within Pacifica. Having to actually go to a bunch of financial people like a bank and say, yes, we owe this money, and here it is right on time. Wow, I don't see us being able to do that too well. They aren't going to treat us the way other entities treat us. You can fudge some bills for a while and get away with this and play this off that and, you know, in general be a not very good customer to a lot of firms and entities. But when you try to do that with a loan to a bank, you know, that's their core business, and they're not going to say, well, okay, we'll give you an extra 30 days for free. They'll start nailing us on that. So I think we do need to concentrate on how to make more money and save money intelligently. I think the cuts at BAI were terrible because we were already on a skeleton crew when we had the cuts made. So that means we didn't cut fat, we didn't cut muscle, we cut bone out of BAI last year. So I agree that we need to see about making money and doing better, and a loan is a contract to have the whole thing go away.
Okay, thank you, R. Paul. I also heard Alberto.
Yeah, I want to add, I've been very quiet, and I just want to add to R. Paul's comments that I've been sitting in this committee for over 2 years. And we have all, everybody that's been here in the past couple of years, have been predicting every single month, we've been predicting this, where we're at now. We were talking about the elections in setting up the budgets last year, and here are the elections. We were talking about the potential collapse of WPFW. Here we are at WPFW having a financial collapse. Last year, and again, this is just for us to understand that last year we were looking at a $300,000 budget cut for KPFA, and a whole year went by, and now we are in our second year, and the we're still not even wanting to look at that, and that is going to be the next major explosion within our organization. And I understand what Brian is saying, that right now KPFA is not a drag on the national office, but at the same time, eventually the heavy overhead at KPFA is going to catch up on KPFA. And unfortunately, as Brian and everybody else, Jamie, R. Paul, knows, you cannot shake off your heaviness within a very reasonable period of time. I mean, it just takes a long time. All we have to do is look at the experience that we had with BAI in trying to unload some of the people over there. It took months. And so now we are in this situation where everybody's going to follow into the same downward spiral that we have been perceiving ourselves for several years now. And I just want to make sure that we continue to move forward on this. And I'm sorry, and I just have one more question and a final statement at this point. I'm sorry I was a little bit late. I was hoping that we would spend this couple of hours reviewing budgets, and I'm sorry I missed that first part. I want to know, Jamie, from you, what happened to the KPFA budget? And then, Jamie, tell me what happened to the KPFK budget. I heard where BAI was. I heard where W was at. But what happened to the A budget, and what happened to the K budget, Jamie?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
The A budget, I don't know. Do you recall at the PNB meeting in Texas?
Yes, sir.
Our committee voted to approve it. But actually, I think we overlooked something when we last
looked at
it. There was a...
Yes, sir, yes.
The actuals didn't support one of the lines.
Yes.
And so we got some confirmation on that, but it's a little bit unclear. That needs to be cleared up. And also, there's a question about KPFA CPB money. It might be lower than budgeted, so that needs to be cleared up. So we're not going to prove it till those two things are...
And what about the staff salaries? That line item of personnel, the program personnel.
Well, they have to be, the salaries have to be in line with what they can afford to pay, you know. The early budget that we saw, there was, What
about...
Let me finish. I'll answer your question. The earlier budget that we saw, there were about $450,000 in cuts in salary and related, and then the more recent one, there was closer to $300,000. So if their income is less than expected, maybe that number will change.
And what about the K budget?
Okay, the KPFK budget. We reviewed it in this committee. We came up with some queries. Summer took them back. But I don't believe the queries were added, but I don't think a budget, according to Summer, I don't believe a budget has been made that reflects the changes. So she's supposed to have that for us soon.
And you know, I think that is our main focus on dealing with those particular issues. I understand, and I wasn't born yesterday. I understand what's going on, and it offends me that we're doing, you know, what I call in my world, doing the bullfight with a red cape, ole torito, and the torito's going by, and we're all the torito, and people are flailing the red capes in front of us, and the issues are being avoided. And it really offends me to be listening to what I've been listening to for the past hour and a half, because that takes us nowhere. And
okay.
I don't want to keep on raving and ranting, but all of this that's been going on, and I don't need to mention your name, as to what I'm talking about, but it is taking us nowhere, and we are in a very precarious situation. Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, you know, we can't approve. I would like to approve the budgets. I was hoping we would be through this process.
The budgets cannot be approved until they stand by themselves. And they're not standing by themselves because the standing of the budgets are being avoided. And people are keeping their fingers crossed, hoping that there will be a stimulus package coming in to save us from what we do not want to do.
Okay.
And as far as the CPB budget is concerned, we've always, and I've stated it before, Jamie, and I don't know why we keep falling into that same trap. Our commitment to free speech radio news is 25% of the CPB grant that is renewed yearly from the federal government. And if KPFA, if Brian lost $150,000 from his grant, that whatever his grant is now, only 25% should be made available to free speech radio news, not because I'm against CPB, the free speech radio news, but because that is what we can afford to fund that organization. And we keep building some kind of weird contracts. And again, that's part of the problem, that contracts keep being negotiated with the interest, the best interest, the best fiduciary responsibility of our group not being handled accordingly, because Pacifica Foundation is not a gold mine. It is not something that everybody can go in and put their little straw in there and suck like the little mosquitoes that used to come around in those TV commercials. And I'm really, you know, very worried. But this conversation that we've been having for the last hour and a half is not taking us anywhere.
All right. Let's
Jamie?
Campbell. Let's see, Grace, are you still here? I guess that she had to go to her meeting. Okay, Campbell.
Yes, there are two things that I just wanted to mention. And one is that this is precisely where we saw we would be when we refused to consider the loan opportunity from the CDFI. And that was not a bad loan. That was a good loan. I don't know where Grace and her infinite wisdom.
You don't have to say her name.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
The second point.
Yeah. of information?
Well, can it wait till the end, or do you, is it?
Yeah, because I'm, I'm going to have to get off the call. Thank you, but I'm going to have to get off the call too because if we're in debt now, and we're doing a little bit better than in the national office, I mean, who would have paid for this loan? I mean, the loan could have been called.
Wait, but don't.
May I finish my statement?
Wait, hush. Laverne and Campbell, stop. Laverne, if you have to go, thank you so much, and we'll be talking to you.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Take care. Okay. Campbell?
Yeah. The reality is that Pacifica, just like any other business, can run into difficult straits. And businesses do that all the time, and oftentimes they have to reorganize. If we looked at what was involved in that loan that we had an opportunity for, part of it was a business plan. And the business plan, a skeleton of it, was provided to the CDFI, and that involved what a lot of the money was going to be spent for. But the concern that came back was that, our PNB, just as Alberto was saying, would be spending the money like a drunken sailor.
No, that was for ARPAL.
Oh, ARPAL, okay. That they would not be, adopting or adhering to a serious business plan. And I thought that at that time, hopefully, that with the writing on the wall, that, we would be serious about that. Well, that time has passed, and I'm not about just, criticizing the past, but what I'm concerned about is the present, and that is this, that I've tried since early July. We have provided an off-air revenue strategy, and we're going to have an LSB meeting tomorrow at which we're going to put together a resolution, hopefully, that will be pointed to our chairperson, and to the PNB and to the NFC to get our interim general manager to seriously engage this and not play games with us. Playing games about, the gala was this, that, or the other. The gala is over. We've done a budget since the gala. Why do we complain about the gala still? That's totally irrelevant. The things about, what are central services for? Well, this was something that could have been solved by a telephone call to the national office. These things have just been dodges to undermine any engagement, any realistic engagement in regards to being able to collaborate as the finance committee should be able to do with our staff in terms of developing a budget that makes some sense. We've got about $72,000 in off-air monies that can be raised without, talking about any major kinds of investments, $72,000, which could become $87,000, but that they hadn't been even engaged at all by our GM. And I just wanted to raise this as a concern. Hopefully there'll be a resolution coming from our LSB tomorrow. And, having this thing, and I shared a copy of this in July 21st, and I would hope that we could maybe engage it as a committee, as an NFC, and say, this does make sense or it doesn't make sense. I think if it does make sense, it's the kind of thing that can be done network-wide and would be able to, it won't dig us out, it's not, the Holy Grail or anything like that, but it would help us be able to turn our revenues around, be able to get a more positive engagement with our listenership, and put us on a track whereby some organizations, such as financing institutions, that aren't just out to dig money out of you, and Wells Fargo, I used to work for Wells Fargo, Wells Fargo's looking out for itself. Okay. They aren't particularly trying to figure out how we can do better. So, these are the kinds of concerns I had. I just wanted to put it on the table, and thank you very much, Jamie.
All right, thanks.
Jamie.
Let's see. Wait, before we go any further, we've sort of covered our recent cash situation and obligations. I think we need to think about, what action items are going to come out of that. One action item that has been suggested has been, a report to the PNB. That seems a no-brainer. If there's anything else?
Jamie.
Brian.
See, I hear Brian, Alberto, and Susan. So why don't I go Susan, Alberto. Susan, I heard you first, then Alberto. But, well, let's, we could talk. I know we can talk at length about, these things. But what should we do about them, I guess, is what I'm asking. Okay,
great.
Susan?
Yeah, let me just say, I at one point did a, I had been chairing this little cash, subcommittee and so forth, and there was confusion about what our, what we ended up recommending and so forth, and in order to be clear to the board and be clear to the National Finance Committee, I wrote, it's very much what R. Paul said, I do not think this organization is sufficiently competent to handle a real estate loan. I think it would lose the real estate. Where I am trying to get is for the board to understand that this balancing act is happening right now, and that that the board needs to be aware all the time of who's of what the Peter and Paul borrowings are and what the upcoming cash demands are, or it will be blindsided as we have been in the past, where we have found out through, back channels that payments haven't been made. We have to be clear about it. And so for me, the critical matter is for the board to have clear information so that it cannot plead ignorance. And I will not stay on a board that insists on being ignorant. So I request that we ask the CFO to determine what is a reasonable period and the reasonable periods of time to provide information such as the FTEs, fulfillment information, and the other information that we need in order to competently oversee the financial management of this organization.
Say that last sentence one more time, please.
The financial information that we need to competently oversee the financial management of the organization.
Okay.
Brian.
Okay. Let's see. Next, we had Alberto and then Brian.
I wanted to point out very quickly to Campbell that at KPFT we have off-air fundraisers. Usually there are at least 1 to 4 a month running full blast, and we've been doing that for several years. I want to point out, Campbell, that most of the times the general manager is busy managing whatever he manages, but the fundraisers are continuing. If it's not one board member or a group of board members doing a fundraiser, it's a group of programmers doing a fundraiser, and we are always having fundraisers at KPFT, and we have raised thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. My point is that, man, if we, you heard the other day you asked me about Howling in the Heights. It brought in $1,400 that time. And it just goes on and on and on. We're having a fundraiser this Saturday, Campbell. It's at an organic farm. People are going to go show up and are going to have a great time. And all the money raised is going to go for KPFT. I guess what I'm saying, Campbell, it is almost impossible to get people to nod. The best approach, and I've heard your excitement and your want to do off-air activities, you need to find yourself a couple of other people and that are willing to help you, and just go out and do it. And pretty soon, the whole organization is going to be helping in bringing in the money that they so desperately need. I'm sorry, I'm out of turn there, Jamie, but I wanted to comment to Campbell, because he's always shown interest about off-air fundraisings, and I just needed to say that.
Okay,
can I just briefly respond?
I'd rather not. We have a stack. I'll put you on a stack.
Okay.
Let's see, next is, because what we really need to focus on, rather than off-air fundraising, is what we're going to do about this cash situation.
Yeah.
But, so Brian. Next person is Brian.
And I just, I appreciate everything everyone's saying. I really hope we don't get into a back and forth with speeches, though, because, yeah, we got to move on some of this stuff. Jamie, I think what we need is a cash flow forecast. I mean, an accurate cash flow forecast based on what's going on. And I don't know what the right path to that is. We should have it as part of all our budgets by now, but we don't have budgets. So I don't know what the right way is to get the information we need out of the limited staffing we have. But it feels like you said, hopefully all the fund drive central services come in, but we still don't know how we're getting through November and December because they're all spoken for. And there's just no document that shows a plan. Once we know how big the hole is, we can talk about whether it's the kind of thing that can be swallowed by deferring payments or whether other sources of funds have to be tapped.
Jamie?
Okay, yes. Okay, I have a question. Do the cash flow... we have different kinds of cash flows. The ones that came from national office that were just one vertical column basically did show cash flows. But the ones that are laid out like the budgets that go across the page month by month, do those have a category for unpaid bills?
Brackets?
I guess you could put that in there.
Brackets, maybe?
Well, they do show when there's deficits, but will the cash, like let's say the problem is now, you know, we have $150,000 in Democracy Now! Unpaid. How will that get shown in a cash flow forecast?
Well, it would be shown on your balance sheet, not your cash flow.
Well, your cash flow is linear. Your cash flow is linear. And it would be monthly, and it would have brackets to indicate that they were not paid.
Mm-hmm.
There's several ways of doing it, Jamie, but it would be linear, and it's not an income and expense, and it's not assets over liabilities. It's a linear movement of numbers.
Okay, so it could be shown. There's this information could certainly be included on a cash flow.
Yeah, it should. It should be written in such a way that when you're saving cash by deferring a bill, that's noted in the margin note on that line.
Might put in italics also.
But the other thing you could do for analysis purposes is add a row at the bottom showing how much deferred bills you're expecting to have in any given month. It wouldn't be part of the cash flow itself, but it would be an analysis field. So that you had a summary. But, you know, I mean, without any of the people working on these documents on the phone, it's kind of an academic conversation.
I know it is.
Okay. All right. So you're requesting an accurate cash flow forecast for the next few months.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, I don't want to double them up on requests. They're supposed to be part of the budget.
It's a catch-22, Brian. See how we come back to the same thing?
Well,
I mean basically,
if they prepare the budget, they'll prepare the cash flow, and if they don't, they
you know, we're flogging ourselves, Brian Edwards Dicker. We're flogging ourselves.
Well, this would be in the national office cash flow. The one, I mean, the nice conversation was national office, so that would be in the national office cash flow.
Jamie.
Okay, let's see. Okay, I hear you, Sherry. Was there anybody else? Okay,
yes,
go ahead,
Campbell.
Sherry. Okay, Campbell, then Sherry.
Okay, I wanted to respond to Alberto and say, Alberto, please share with me some how-to information. If it isn't like on paper and y'all are just doing it and whatnot like that, I can share with you a piece that I had put together, an analysis and development planning piece that I had put together. You remember last year we were talking about a duck rate?
Campo, if I could stop you for 1 second, this is good, but I'm wondering if we could either put this off till after we finish the
okay,
conversation.
Okay, okay. Just one other quick point. One other quick point.
Communicate off, you can, you know.
Okay, there's just one other quick point. That part of my LSB resolution for tomorrow is a pledge for us as a board and individually to get actively engaged in this. So I just wanted to mention that as well.
Okay, thank you. And let's.
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Okay, thank you.
Next I heard Sherry.
I just want to know at one point you're going to address Susan's motion or proposal.
I'll second it.
What now?
You don't have to second
it's
the committee.
Committee.
But
I know.
I can't remember what Susan's motion or proposal.
Maybe she'll repeat it now.
Sherry, I'd love help. I recall it being a sort of a tirade. I move that...
STEs, fulfillment rates?
Yeah, yeah.
And other
FTEs,
financial information.
Fulfillment rates, and what I'm really also getting at is what Brian brought up, and that is a realistic cash flow projection and forecast so that we are able to see all of the anticipated cash flows and their timing, rather than hearing about hearing a patchwork
mm-hmm.
of what is happening here and what is happening there. Mm-hmm. So the motion is for the ICFO to give us the date whereby she can provide to us pledge fulfillment information, FTEs, and a cash flow projection for the period from October 1 through, should be 3 months or 6 months?
Six. Yeah, that'd be better. You juggle too much in three.
And that when she gives us those dates, that the board, the committee, and the IED hold her and support her in completing those tasks on time.
Okay.
Could I read what I have?
Sure.
Okay, the motion would be that the ICFO give to us the date whereby she can provide to us pledge fulfillment information, FTEs, cash flow projection for a period from October 1st through March 31st, and that when she gives us those dates, that the PNB, the NFC, and the IED hold her and support her in completing those tasks.
Hold her accountable and support her in completing.
Hold her accountable. Hold her accountable and support her in completing those tasks on time. Is that it?
Yes.
All right.
Our Paul, you're dynamite.
I tell you.
Okay, so we have this motion on the floor. Can somebody reread it sort of as a package?
Let me make sure I have it all again. That the ICFO, extra word, that the ICFO give us a date whereby she can provide us pledge fulfillment information, FTEs, cash flow projection for the period from October 1st through March 31st, and that when she gives us those dates, that the PNB, the NFC, and the IED hold her accountable and support her in completing those tasks on time.
I have just one friendly amendment, if I may. Between the word realistic and cash flow, put in the word comprehensive or network-wide.
Sure. Network-wide.
Yes.
Okay, we're after cash flow?
Realistic network-wide cash flow.
Was there Does the committee accept all of that?
Okay, so can you read me that? I'm sorry. Can you read me that last sentence there?
The way I have it, there is only one big sentence.
Okay, the last part.
Why don't I read the whole thing here again? One second. Pardon me. That the ICFO give us a date. Direct article in there because, okay, that the ICFO give us a date whereby she can provide to us pledge fulfillment information, FTEs, realistic network-wide cash flow projection for the period from October 1st through March 31st, and that when she gives us those dates, that the PNB, the NFC, and IED hold her accountable and support her in completing those tasks on time.
All right, are there any comments on this motion?
I have some.
Campbell.
Okay, first our poll and then Campbell.
Yeah. Okay, isn't this ICFO already accountable? I mean, I don't know why we have to say hold her accountable. It does sort of, you know, it sounds like we're like shaking her or something.
The classical beating the dead horse.
I am
phone.
Willing
wait,
to take
wait,
that
wait,
out.
Wait. Our Paul, just keep. Our Paul has the floor.
Yeah. Sorry. Could I suggest we just and make it the PNB, the NFC, and the IED support her in completing these tasks. Just strike, hold her accountable. And would that be okay?
I accept that.
Yeah, I would take that entire bit out. I don't really understand. It seems like window drafting.
Well, let me tell you my issue there, Jamie. You know, we've been a little bit round and round and round about the fact that we haven't been giving clear deadlines and being serious about it, and that, you know, the ICFO has a lot of other tasks, which is understandable. If she's called on by the IED to do a bunch of things and cannot get this, then basically the board and the IED have not made this a priority. And we have to make it clear this has to be a priority. We are falling down on this job. We are.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments?
Yes, Campbell.
Go ahead, Campbell.
Yes. I totally agree with that, and what we have gotten has been piecemeal information and episodic. Oh, gee, this was a great thing that happened there, and I had a good conversation. So, that, you know, we need some real stuff. One phrase that didn't make it into the last cut, there's full FTEs, pledge fulfillments, and other financial information. We need to create or have a realistic network-wide cash flow forecast.
Good night, you all. Catch you later.
Okay, take care, Alberto. Okay, I mean, I guess my concern is that the main thing I want is a cash flow forecast.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. I just didn't want it to be short-circuited by just addressing the FTEs and pledge fulfillment information.
Right.
Somehow somebody could, you know, short-circuit if they...
I guess, and I may be following up on what Jamie is saying, I don't want it to be confusing that we're asking for a variety of things. I think we need to ask for the cash flow projection, the FTEs, the fulfillment, and the cash flow projections. And as you have put them, comprehensive six-month period of time, I think that is enough clarity.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Well, okay, so are there any objections to this motion?
Well, there's my amendment, so.
Okay, so our Paul has moved to remove the word and hold, which move?
Hold her accountable and.
hold her accountable then. How do people, is there any, is there any?
No problem.
Okay, so we're going to remove that.
I trust it's being removed with the understanding that it is understood that she's going to be accountable.
Well,
this is the interim CFO.
That's up to the board. Okay. Okay, so then can you read the motion without that line in it there, R. Paul?
Yes. One second. Okay. That the ICFO give us a date whereby she can provide to us pledge fulfillment information, FTEs, realistic network-wide cash flow projection for the period from October 1st through March 31st, and that when she gives us those dates, that the PNB, the NFC, and IED support her in completing those tasks on time.
Okay, thank you, R. Paul. Is there any objection to this motion?
Common consent.
Okay, so that motion passes without objection.
Without objection.
Okay, Sherry again.
Okay, Sherry.
I do notice that about a half hour ago, Susan sent out another motion that she moved, that report summarized by Jamie and Brian, summarizing the accumulated unfunded obligations be reported at the October 25th meeting. And I think we had, there was some committee conversation that we request time on the agenda, either public or executive session, to talk about the things that we've heard. And I only add the executive because some of those things relate to, I think it should be, again, in public, but some of the unpaid bills relate to contracts, and to the degree that the discussion of our unpaid bills, it requires discussion of contracts, we might have to move it to executive session.
So you're moving that we bring a report on this issue to the PNB?
I will steal Susan's email to us a half hour.
Steal away.
And I will move, yes, that we bring the report of the accumulated unfunded obligations to the PNB at the October 25th meeting.
So that we bring report of accumulated unpaid obligations?
Yes.
The one that Susan said that the report summarized by Jamie and Brian summarizing the accumulated unfunded obligations be reported at the October 25th PNB meeting. Make that instead of board. PNB.
Yeah.
Okay, PNB.
How about this? I mean, I'm happy to prepare a little report out of this document that will cover that. I can forward it to the NFC and you guys can check it out. Would that be acceptable?
Perfect.
Would you be doing that by tomorrow sometime?
No, the PNB meeting's not till Sunday, so probably I won't be doing it tomorrow.
Oh.
But you never know.
Wanted to share it with our LSB folk.
So I believe you can, make a summary of it. It's not,
okay.
Was discussed in open session. You know, I asked Grace and LaVarne if we should be discussing it in closed session. They said no. So you have the email that come from Lynn with the basic information.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Read what I have? And
yeah, go ahead.
There are two versions in my head right now. I have in writing from Susan that the report summarized by Jamie and Brian summarizing the accumulated unfunded obligations be reported at the October 25th PNB meeting. Is that fine? Or do you want other wording in there or what?
I don't know. What's the summarized by Jamie and Brian sounds kind of – why don't we just say the NFC will provide a report summarizing –
and Jamie part out. They're really cute, but I don't think we need them in the motion. I agree.
Okay. How about the NFC chair will provide a report of...
The NFC chair? that the NFC chair will provide a report summarizing the accumulated unfunded obligations to be reported at the October 25th.
Right.
NBA meeting. Okay.
How's that sound?
Fine.
Sounds good.
Okay, are there any objections to that?
It's safe.
Okay, so that passes. Okay, is there anything else people want to do this evening, or can we get off the phone?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
All right.
I just want to flag one thing we may want to consider at a future meeting. In the past, and it didn't have much effect, but when we saw dire straits at one unit or another, we asked for a moratorium on new hires and discretionary spending. It doesn't fix anything, but it might keep it from getting worse. So I don't want to discuss or debate anything tonight, but
something
I wanted to flag it just because my brain's been spinning since Jamie said, well, what do we do with this information?
Right. Okay, well, we could get to that next time. Oh, we haven't set a meeting. You know, I'm leery of setting a meeting date because I keep thinking we're going to get budgets and we don't have them. So I'm kind of tempted not to set a meeting date till we see them. I don't know. It's up to you guys. What do you
I suggest, Jamie, that we go ahead and set the meeting in a week. And the reason for that is we need deadlines from LaVarne. And when we have those in hand, then it will be everybody's job to meet those deadlines. It's just all stayed vague because of it.
Okay, well, do you guys want to meet next Tuesday night?
Well, I think
I can commit to having the major donor line resolved in KPFA's budget. Obviously, the CPB is not on our timeline, but we should be able to have a budget that has wiggle room for however that's resolved.
Okay, so we could review this KPFA budget and finish it.
Yeah.
So somebody's making a motion that we meet on October 27th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes.
I don't know who's making the motion, but somebody's making
it. I guess Susan made it. Is there any objection to that motion? Okay, so next Tuesday night it is.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you all, and we'll be talking to you.
Okay,
take care.
I guess we're adjourned without a motion, but okay.
Didn't somebody move to adjourn?
So moved.
Yeah,
is there any
several of us moved to adjourn several times.
Is there any objection?
No.
No objection.
Bye.
Okay, well, then we did business after it, so that nullified. Well, anyway, here we go. We're adjourned now. Goodbye.
Bye.